But as long as we're talking about NATO and international tensions, I have been bringing up the spy balloon that went around big time in the news for like a week, months ago.
Great time.
And I kept waiting for the sequel, and we finally have it. So we have a CNN Politics article here that says that commercial fishermen off the coast of Alaska have found what officials are concerned could be another spy balloon and are bringing it to shore with them. The article goes on to say that these fishermen dutifully notified the FBI when they found the suspicious object and will be turning it in. To which I have to say, so far, we have the press calling this a potential spy balloon based on the analysis of some fishermen in Alaska who called the FBI. So wonderful, hard journalism happening here, guys.
They're going to find a GameCube controller in the spy balloon wreckage. It's going to turn out that it was the fucking Titanic submersible.
Yeah. Oh, man. Why would you go to this effort? If I find a balloon while I'm fishing, I'd be like, oh, cool. Anyway, back
free
to my
balloon.
Life. Yeah, why are you looking up the FBI's phone number and trying to get them on the horn? Like, why are you wasting your time?
Snitches.
With these
jokers? I also love that these guys looked at it and, like, I don't know, if you're a commercial fisherman, you've probably seen a fucking weather balloon before. I have to imagine it's a pretty good area to spot weather balloons. And it's like, you see this one and you're like, well, that one might be a spy balloon. Why? Because it crashed and because I get to go be the guy who fished it out of the water. So like, yeah. If you're some like weird, dumbass Alaskan fisherman, probably not a lot of interesting shit ever happens to you. Like, this is your moment to like make the kind of headlines in Alaska where like a dog is the mayor or something, or like a notable bear dies. And you're like, finally, I'm going to be more important than when Stucky the bear died.
So not just that, it seems like an opportunity for a grift, because like fishermen more than anybody else are like at the, well, maybe not more than anybody else. Like there's also other, basically anybody who like is in commodities, like farmers, mm-hmm. a lot of the time, fishermen, like you are at the mercy of your yield, right? You are at the, if it's a bad yield of fish, you're going to make less money. If it's a bad crop, whatever. So it's possible that they were just like, well, we found some wreckage of fucking something. We have no idea what it is. Let's see if we can sell this shit to the U.S. government for a couple grand just to like, you know, have some walking around money.
Hey, look, if Quantico paid these guys like whatever 10 fish hauls are worth for sending this thing in, then good for the fucking fishermen. Honestly, yeah. I have no trouble with that. But it is really funny that they're trying to spin this up in the press is like, maybe you should be scared. I don't know. These Russian fishermen think here I go again. These Alaskan fishermen think that it might be a spy balloon. So maybe you should watch out. And it's like, you know, I don't know. Russia and China are like, you know, geographically closer to Alaska than almost any other part of the United States. Mm-hmm. And I understand this might be me getting my information from television a little bit too much, but that like old school Cold War anti-Russian, anti-Chinese sentiment was much stronger in Alaska than in the continental United States, because there was this idea that like Russian agents were trying to set up bases in Alaska. There was like this panic of like, well, anyone you know in Anchorage might be a Russian agent, you know, and I think that paranoia has lived on in some forms, especially in a place where, you know, maybe things don't move so fast.
Yeah, that's interesting, because there's like the famous quote that every American sees themselves as a temporarily embarrassed millionaire. Like, I didn't realize that people also see themselves as like a temporarily embarrassed like holder of state secrets. Like, why would you be personally afraid of a spy balloon? It's like, oh no, it caught me fishing and caught me drying moose on a like rock outside my house. I'm gonna go to jail now or something.
Well, the thing is I think there are actually like a good number of military installations all across Alaska, mostly remnants from the Cold War, if I'm not mistaken. But it might also be that there's old like World War II stations up there and stuff from the Pacific Theater. But it is really funny to be like, they're gonna steal our fish migration patterns. You know,
yeah,
like whatever, like what they're gonna figure out when we have the harvest festival. Yeah, So, I mean, I'm just really glad that we finally got a sequel to the Chinese spy balloon. I think they're probably going to try to blame this one on Russia, but who fucking knows? Sure, and as long as we're talking about Russia and China, there is a article in The Express, not a super good source of information, but it does seem to be based in at least a germ-a-fact, which is that Russia and China are discussing plans to do something of this nature on a tentative, speculative level, which is that Russia and China are considering plans to put a nuclear power unit on the moon between the years of 2033 and 2035.
This rocks so much because, like, here in the United States, we're like, we're debating if it's okay for the president to have a little Xanax as a treat.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Russia and China are like, hey, you know how, like, there's a moon and, like, only like 10 guys have ever been there? Let's build a fucking power station.
Well, also, like, the moon would be an ideal location for a nuclear power plant because you could make it really fucking big. You could make it really fucking resource intensive, and you could have all kinds of fail safes, including the fact that if it fails, nothing is fucking around to destroy of any significance.
Yeah. Yeah,
not
no
to
one
mention
lives there.
The surface of the moon has barely, I think it has next to zero. I don't think it can hold an atmosphere at all.
I think it's
and
too small,
it's extremely
yeah.
cold.
No, it's basically a vacuum.
Which is ideal for nuclear power because your cooling situation is like you just fucking cool the water with vacuum.
Yeah.
Done and done, you know? So I think you might even be able to just use vacuum cooling. Although,
yeah, no,
you know, I'm not an engineer,
you wouldn't
so I don't
cool
know.
The water with vacuum. You would have to have the water in some kind of heat exchanger in a vacuum, so like an array of tubes that on inside the tubes is water and outside the tubes is vacuum. You can't just expose the water to a vacuum because the water will like immediately expand, and I think it's called sublimate, and it'll like boil like at the speed of sound or something like
interesting.
That but yeah, no, I mean, like, putting a nuclear power unit in space is a really fucking cool idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it also like reinvigorates the space race, you know, quote unquote, which this article talks about at length. And it's like the article's super optimistic that SpaceX is going to be able to keep up with. To me,
SpaceX?
Like, that's the most preposterous part of all of this. Is
me?
Like,